Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
So go ahead, take your favorite camera, even if it's just a point and shoot, and go out and take some photos. And remember, you don't need to hop in a jet, fly for 16 hours to an exotic locale to shoot a good picture. The truth is, there are hundreds of great pictures every day in your own backyard. All you have to do is find them. And that's what makes all the difference. Jeff Mitchum continues following this brief announcement here on the Wild Side News. After 23 years as a professional nature photographer, Jeff Mitchum has had the unique opportunity to not only see, but also document the changes he's seen during a time when nature is experiencing some of the most dramatic changes that have resulted from our species' relentless drive to make it better, bigger, and profitable. Jeff Mitchum tells us what he has observed during his time in the fields, byways, hideaways, and beyond.
Well, there's a bunch of things that I'm observing and very concerned about. A number of corporations that are supporting the environment and foundations, and yet at the same time, the only reason that they're giving to these foundations is to cover up their global warming. That's a very concerted effort, and it's becoming a very consistent pattern that I can give back in order to take. And that's one of the most notable things that I have seen developing in the world, you know, from a global perspective. So now I'm being political, but I can tell you that I would listen to extremely conservative, and I'm conservative, and you know, so we don't get this wrong. You know, I'm not a liberal attacking a conservative, and or a conservative attacking a liberal. But, you know, what made and really piqued my interest was when I started hearing some of these conservative radio commentators saying that, and also liberals, that there is no global warming and that this is just a part of nature. It's taking its course, and they are outright denying the very things that they would say that they are using scientific fact. And, you know, at the Hudson Bay, every year the ice is getting thinner. Less grounds for the polar bears to go out and to feed, meaning shorting their season, less body fat on them. And now they finally, something that was going on 10 years ago, the government finally decides that, you know, this is a worthy cause now to investigate. Well, the problem is it's going to take another 10 years for them to come to the conclusion that we already knew 10 years ago. And so that's 20 years that we've lost. And the same thing is happening on Kilimanjaro. And if you want to see ice and snow there, you better do it in the next 10 years. And if you don't make that hike, you'll never see it. It's going to be gone. So these are some of the climate shifts that I have seen. I've also witnessed the deer herds in the eastern Sierras. They used to be over 200,000. And the way that it's been managed, now you've got a deer herd that's, you know, 22 to 25,000. 15 years ago, you know, imagine, you know, 200 and something thousand deer in that one region, and now it's down. There's only one reason for it, and it's not predator, you know, kills. With the bighorn sheep, yes, it is with the lions, but not with the deer herds. The deer herds used to thrive under a lot of lion territories and things like that, and they were up, you know, at 200 and something thousand. And so those are, you know, I know those are just a sampling for what we want to go into here, but those are the big shifts that I have seen, you know, over time.
To me, I guess the important aspect of that story is the fact that this is all done within about 20 years. Mm-hmm. That we're talking about such massive change, particularly with these populations, in really such a very short time that obviously if you go out another 20 years, what does happen? And that's that to me is the hard question. That's why I feel that there's such a critical need to move quickly, very quickly, because in your life you've witnessed these changes and you've been fortunate and you can speak to them intelligently and you can verify. You don't have to be a scientist to understand these things and to prove that these changes are happening. And unfortunately, I think in some cases we're running out of time. we really have to do something. But the challenge, of course, mm-hmm. is how in the world do we bring about this awareness and then as well take action?
Well, I'm afraid that it'd be a bearer of bad news, but it's not about changing the environment. It's about changing the way that people think, and it's about changing people's hearts. People have to make a decision, you know, what do they really want to prioritize in their lives? And if you're going to, you know, put a premium on your ability to have certain things at the expense of destroying the environment, you know, then I think that, you know, self-examination, yeah, it's troubling, yeah, it's challenging, and, you know, I think that's what we're throwing out there, you know, is, you know, if your motivation is right, then, you know, I think that it'll lead to a shift in your decisions, you know. But the only way that we're going to change the course and the direction of this world is by changing the human heart. All of the evidence is there. I mean, you look at World War II and, you know, the things that we knew what were going on in Germany and, you know, such a slow response, you know, and people were being slaughtered. And, you know, and again, it was one of those, you know, things that, you know, does someone stick out their neck and it costs them potentially their political career? So I think it really has to go from the top, Sydney. You know, it has to go, you know, we want to challenge the politicians, you know, and we don't want them to be politicians. How about being a statesman? You know, we have all kinds of politicians, but can we have a statesman? You know, somebody that really will take a stand, do what's right, make decisions for the long haul. I want my children, I want them to be able to see, you know, this environment and our world, and I want them to be able to bring it back and, you know, to enjoy it and to protect it and respect it. You know, if people respect nature and wildlife and the open spaces, it can only come back to help humanity, you know, to bring a greater... It's like, well, if we're doing this for animals, how much more so should we be for human beings? And it's a good mix. And so it has to begin with the human heart, though.
I know that you're a man who sees greater meaning in all of this. One of the questions that some people are asking is that the Christian community, for example, has somehow failed to really step up to acknowledge the significance of this gift. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I absolutely agree. You know, and as a Christian, there's been a very slow response to getting involved in the environment, and I don't know necessarily where that could be shaped from a biblical standpoint. There are a lot of proverbs that talks about a man that takes care of his, you know, animals as a man that is kind, and it's again. It is just simply the way that we approach life and we go out and how clean that we are. It talks about how clean our hearts are and how sensitive. So, you know, it's. I think that a church, a pastor would probably, with all of the issues that are on the table, you know, which one do you want to tackle? And, you know, I mean, what really matters the most is eternal life. And so they're going to deal, obviously, with the issue of salvation. But I think that there's room for both, and there needs to be a balance, and that when the text would allow it, that I think I would want to spend time there too, and, you know, move down that road. So, but I do know that there is an awakening, you know, amongst Christians in the community that they are realizing that this is a subject that they have let go under, you know, the bridge. And so I don't know if it's a matter of resources that... You know, and probably prioritizing in the Christian mindset, it's going to be, you know, number one, you know, people need to come to know Christ, you know, in a personal way, discipling them. And you've got family issues, you know, and, you know, you've got a child or a kid that's contemplating suicide, you know. So on the one hand, you know, I've got a suicidal child that, you know, we need to work with, and then we've got, you know, global warming, which one gives? I mean, obviously, the child is going to get the prioritizing, and that's a very an emotional, draining kind of a thing. But I would suggest that And as I have heard, I know that there are people that are making a push towards that. This is where a separate entity can come together. And like, well, what we're doing with our Israel book that's coming out, what really moved me over there was realizing that the Israeli government has little resources to put back into the environment because they have to protect themselves. So 80% of their budget is in, you know, the securing their borders and, you know, making sure that people don't bomb their buses and they got security. So a lot of money goes into security. You know, at the same time, you've got these structures that are thousands of years old that need restoration, protection, national parks need to be set aside. You just don't have the money for it. Human life versus protecting this space. So that's what led me to open up our Timeless Foundation for them. And, you know, 95% of all the wildlife from the birds, they migrate through there in Israel. So from the African through that African rift into Europe and back goes right through Israel. And so that's where, you know, we're just asking people to step up and do both. Yeah, you know, we want to save children's lives and we want to work with them. But also we, you know, feel that we can do both and change perspective, change the heart, change the way, bring awareness, you know. And that's why you're doing what you do. It ups the ante and the bar for everyone, you know, to hear about these things. And then how do we get involved? You know, how do politicians get involved? And our word simply to them is be a statesman, be a visionary, be a John Muir, get ahead of the game. See it before it's too late. Make unpopular decisions. Stand by it, but explain yourself, and you'll be respected. But stand and do what's right. Do what's responsible. Yeah.
Words to the wise. Fair warning, and it's an opening of the eyes. Well, let's now shift to where you're going from here. You have a new show that's coming out, a new body of work.
Yeah, it's quite fun. It's been exciting. National Geographic, coming back to them. Oh, a couple of years ago, they asked me to do an assignment going into Africa and to China and kind of tracing the cultural changes and what's going on. They wanted it from a landscape theme, you know, and I just said, I just can't leave. I can't leave my family. I said, I'm really done with it. Thanks, but no thanks. And it was right after that that I was commissioned to go into Israel and to photograph Israel in a way that has not traditionally been seen in the way that people think about Israel. It's desert, you know. They have no idea how beautiful the place is. And so that's what was my assignment. So I went over there and fell in love with it, mesmerized. So after that, when I came back, I started thinking, you know, I need to carry this to the world. I want people to see that this is one of the jewels of the world. It's one of the wonders of the world. The place is amazing. Out of every country I've been in the world, I've never seen such diversity. It's amazing. It just blows your mind. And I thought, this needs to go into a coffee table book. And so from there, the trips back, shooting, springtime, fall, winter. And then, you know, as the book is coming out in October, we have an exhibit along with my new collection called Seasons of Light and another book called Seasons of Light. And, you know, it's really just springboarding, you know, connections and then also the foundation. You know, we really want to do something unique and inspiring and, you know, looking for people to get involved with our foundation and write the check so that, you know, our kids can do things, you know, over there and be generous. This is a place that there's only one of them. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Christian, you know, Hindu, Buddhist. This is the great treasure. It's a great human message, period. And so, and, you know, the artifacts and, but just the natural beauty and the wonder of it is just, it's special. So those are some of the things that are going on along with the opening up of a couple of new galleries and, you know, also giving people an opportunity. We started these licensing agreements with people that have a great affinity and love for, you know, landscape and wildlife that we're contracting with people to open up their own galleries using our images and their community, and it's like having your own gallery, and we supply you the images, and it's your own business. So we just felt that, you know, we wanted to push things a little bit faster and get it out there and help, you know, let's go.
If people wanted to go to one of your galleries that are in existence right now, where would they go?
Well, we have actually, we got two new ones that are going to be opening up. We're going to have a downtown San Diego location later this year in 2007. And then the next one is going to be actually at Disneyland, right in the promenade. And so that's our big, you know, opening event. And, oh, I forgot, we have two galleries are going to be opening up in Israel, one in Jerusalem. And so we're actually looking for a buyer for that one, and then at the airport. And so that both those locations are, and then in Galilee, we have one at the Tiberias. So those, it's a busy year for us.
Well, it's been an absolute joy talking with Jeff Mitchum, who's a sensational photographer, but as well a human being. And I want to thank you, Jeff, for sharing all your thoughts and your spirit here on the Wild Side News.
Thanks for having me, Sydney, and it was very wonderful to spend this time with you and your listeners.
So don't ever give up. Push yourself to find the best and record it on film, on tape, in digital format, or by any means possible. It's more important now than it has ever been before to awaken the people of this world to refocus their attention back to the gift, for it is far more splendid than any one of us can tell. Visit Jeff Mitchum's website at seasonsoflightgallery.com or at mitchumphotography.com. This is Sydney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again next time or any time on the archives when your voice of the earth takes you on a walk with wonder here on the Wild Side News.